Hi there, welcome. I'm Stephen Baker, and you're listening to my Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. Seek the Truth is a Bible media site bringing to you truth you can trust exclusively from the Bible. Hi there. We've got four items for you this week, plus a special offer. Our first item is by Professor Howard Barnes, talking about Einstein. A very interesting piece. I hope you listen to it. It's also World Book Day or World Book Week this week. So we've a couple of items to do with books, and we've got Dr. Luke's diaries, plus a special offer. So happy listening. I hope you find it very interesting.
Hello. I want to talk about what Albert Einstein really said. One quotation flying around on one of the internet social media sites at the moment is attributed to Albert Einstein. He's supposed to have said, "Everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it's stupid." From these words, many people have got great comfort and encouragement, and rightly so. However, there's every indication that this quotation is in fact a fake, as far as Einstein was concerned. The quotation is not found in any definitive, authenticated list of Einstein's many sourced sayings and quotable quotes. Actually, the first written reference you can find to it is in a book written by a man called Matthew Kelly, and this was published in 2004, nearly half a century after Albert Einstein's death in 1955. However, at the same time, there are quite a number of genuine Albert Einstein quotations about spiritual matters. Let's have a look at some of them for a few moments. The first area we're looking at is Albert Einstein's view of the universe and its creator. He wrote, "In view of such harmony in the cosmos, which I, with my limited human mind, am able to recognize, there are yet people who say there is no God. But what really makes me angry is that they quote me for support of such views." He beautifully illustrated his thoughts on a creator in imagining we are in a position of a little child, entering a huge library whose walls are covered to the ceiling with books with many different languages. The child knows that someone must have written these books. It doesn't know who or how. It doesn't understand the languages in which they are written. But the child notes a definite plan in the arrangement of the books, a mysterious order, which it does not yet fully comprehend, but only dimly suspects. That, it seems to me, is the attitude of the human mind, even the greatest and most cultured, towards God. He concluded that God is a mystery, but a comprehensible mystery. I have nothing but awe when I observe the laws of nature. These are not laws without a lawgiver. But how does this lawgiver look? Certainly not like a man magnified, so he said. In talking about the likes of today's Richard Dawkins, he said, "I do not share the crusading spirit of the professional atheist. In this respect, although he certainly did not believe in a personal God, Einstein indicated that he would not seek to oppose such a belief in anyone because such a belief seems to me preferable to the lack of any supernatural outlook." Secondly, we note that Albert Einstein had a favorable view of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene, and no one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such a life." He also said, "If one purges the Judaism of the prophets and the Christianity of Jesus Christ taught in all subsequent editions, especially those of the priests, one is left with a teaching that is capable of curing all the social ills of humanity." Sadly, he also said things that went against the teaching of the Jesus whom he admired. He said, "I do not believe in the God of theology who rewards good and punishes evil." Einstein never took into account that Jesus spoke more on the subject of what we might call heaven and hell theology than any other person whose words are recorded in the New Testament. Many so-called Christian thoughts today can be proved to be of mere human origin, while at the same time we have all the views we need provided by God and inspired in the Bible. Why not check out the authentic sayings of Jesus for yourself? For instance, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This, he said, meant no one can come to God the Father except through him. Jesus also said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Jesus died for those who believe in him, the sheep, that they should not die spiritually, but have everlasting life. If only Einstein believed that. Mahatma Gandhi was quite right when he said about Jesus, "A man who was completely innocent, offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became the ransom of the world. This was a perfect act." Thanks for listening.
Hi there. It's World Book Day today. Well, maybe by the time you listen to this recording, we will be well beyond that, but that's the day in which I'm recording. And it's bringing children and the general public into an awareness again of the great value of books. Literature, books, reading, and that type of communication is a wonderful thing. With the development of modern technology, it is amazing that we still love to pick up a book and we like to read. And books are an amazing thing. I love reading books of all types. I don't have enough time on my hands to do what I would like to do in terms of reading and studying and looking at books, but it's a wonderful thing. And I have a library behind me where I'm recording here full of books, and I've read most of them, but it would be great to spend more time going back over them and learning and gleaning from the things that are written. I'm thinking particularly about the Book of Books. That is often how the Bible has been described down the years. In fact, Queen Victoria claimed that the success of the British Empire was built on the Book of Books, the Bible itself. We sing a song with children, and I've been doing recordings recently on songs and hymns, and there's a song we sing with children, and it says this: "I have a wonderful treasure, the Word of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I." The second verse goes on to say, "Wicked men don't believe it. I will gladly receive it." I don't know what your attitude is to the Bible, to the Book of Books. The Bible is an incredible book, but it makes some rather strong claims for itself. This is what it says. It says, "Search the scriptures, for in them, for they speak of me." Now, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. "Search the scriptures, for they speak of me." So the Lord Jesus was claiming that the Old Testament Bible actually predicted things about himself. The Bible goes on to say, "The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Scriptures just mean the writings. They're holy writings because we believe that God gave his word to men. An incredible book. Over centuries now, this has been the world's best seller. I don't know how many people read it, but many people own a Bible. But listen to what the Bible says again. "From a child," this is written to a man who was a Christian, "from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So this book, the Bible claims to give you information and truth that is able to make you wise, intelligent about salvation. That means the Bible tells us about our predicament, about our need, about our sin. It tells us about a God who is angry because of our wrong, yet he loves us, but he's offended because of the way we've sinned and we hurt ourselves, we disobey him and we do wrong. But it tells us about the same God who sent his Son to this world to die for our sins. And that if we turn to God and confess our need, he will willingly forgive us and cleanse us and forgive us. The Book of Books, a wonderful treasure. I wonder if World Book Week and World Book Day might mean something special to you when you come to trust in God's own Son. Dr. Luke's Diaries. We're in Luke chapter 23, and if you've been following these recordings, we've been there quite a while because they are incredibly important verses in the Bible about the death of Jesus Christ and all the significance that is associated with that. I'm reading in verse 46. It says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." This is the point at which the Lord Jesus lays down his life. It's not actually the only point at which he dies. You might say, well, that's a strange thing to say. Well, the Bible describes hours of darkness when the Lord Jesus poured out his soul. Now, that is a strange expression, but the Lord Jesus gave his life, not just physically, but he died in the hours of darkness in this sense. Death is to be cut off from God. Death for us means to leave this world, to be cut off from this world. Death, if you're not a Christian, means that you're cut off from God and life and liberty and you go to hell. And Jesus entered into death. He tasted of death. He suffered the judgment of God, which is death. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus took the full brunt of God's judgment so that we might be given eternal life. At this stage in the account, it says the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice. Now, this is not the reaction or the behaviour of a man who's weak. Men by this stage were normally exhausted and weak from trying to breathe. The death of crucifixion was a terrible process. But the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice. And he had been praying when he was on the cross, strange as that might seem. He prayed for those who'd put him on the cross. He looked with concern on his mother Mary and commended her to the care of his friend John. But the Lord Jesus cries with a loud voice because he is not dying as a man would die of exhaustion. He is laying down his life. He is giving his life willingly. You can't do that. I can't do that. When we die is involuntary. Something happens. A disease gets us. An accident happens. Death claims us. It's the end. It's tragic. It's awful. But Jesus gave his life, not by force in the sense of a man gives his life in terms of suicide, but he willingly gives his life. I can't explain it, but he said, I have power to lay down my life. He also said he had power to take it again, talking about resurrection. And Jesus voluntarily died and laid down his life. So the Bible says, he cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He gave his life for you and me, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be in heaven, so that we could know God's blessing. I trust that will be true in your experience. Here's another good question that people ask about the Bible. Haven't certain books of the Bible been lost? Well, the precise answer is actually no. The supposedly lost books of the Bible that have been found, the so-called Gospels of Thomas, Philip and Mary Magdalene, were not lost Gospels. They were pseudo-Gospels that the early church rejected as uninspired, spurious writings. The Christian church was familiar with these documents, but purposely left them out of the Bible, easily recognising that they were not divinely inspired. We too can be certain these books do not belong in the Bible. Why, you might ask? Well, first, they were not written by any of the apostles or their close associates, such as Mark and Luke. Mostly scholars, Christian and non-Christian, date these Gnostic Gospels to the 2nd and 3rd centuries, long after the time of Christ. Secondly, these writings contradict authentic revelation. You can be absolutely confident that God, who inspired the men to pen the words of the Bible, saw to it that none of these inspired writings were lost. It would be foolish of us to think that an all-knowing, all-powerful God could lose track of books he intended to put in the Bible, or anything else for that matter. Remember, the Bible teaches all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Bible says that the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
You know, we do appreciate you listening, and we like to make an offer from time to time and to send something to you that we would love to share with you. I have a series of messages on CD, MP3 messages, that I could send to you, and you can have your choice. Got one here, Is the Bible the Word of God? That would be a good one to think about, because if what we believe is based on the Word of God, then we'd need to pay attention to it. What is Truth is another one in the series. I wonder what truth is. You might want to listen to that one. Proofs that Jesus is God. That's another one that you might find helpful and interesting. And one of the many questions that we ask ourselves, will I live Forever. Now, they're all audio CDs recorded in MP3 format, and we'll be able to play in your car, play in the home. And there's also the God of Wonders DVD, which is available to you. So please get in touch through the radio station if you're listening via the radio, or directly to me on stepcar61@gmail.com. May God bless you. You have been listening to Stephen Baker on a Seek the Truth Bible Media podcast. More information and contact details can be found on my webpage, seekthetruth.org.uk. Thanks for listening. Come again soon.